Morning, everyone. We're very welcome to our morning service in Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we give you a special welcome. We do give a special welcome also to our preacher today, the Reverend David Smith. Mr. Smith is the minister in Ballinbridge Church, and we pray that as our brother fellowships with us today, as he brings us God's word, that the Lord might indeed bless our hearts today. Please remember our evening service tonight at 7 p.m, preceded by the usual time of prayer. And again, the Reverend Smith will be back to bring us God's word. On Thursday night, our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting will be taken by our intermoderator, the Reverend Leckie. Please remember that. Next Lord's Day, service at the usual times, 11:30 in the morning, 7 in the evening, both preceded by the usual times of prayer. And our preacher next Lord's Day is Mr. Stephen Crawford. Mr. Crawford is a licentiate minister of our denomination. Some additional announcements for Six Mile Cross. Please remember the ministerial election straw poll. That's a bit of a mouthful, but each community member should have got letters by now. Please note that the straw poll sheets should be returned on Easter Sunday, the 31st. If you cannot make it out, if you know you're not going to be away, if you know you're going to be away that day, then please put your sheet in a sealed envelope and give it to a member of session. And please do that before Easter Sunday. If you have any questions regarding this, please don't hesitate to contact the Reverend Leckie with any questions. Deputation meeting on Thursday, the 28th of March. The speaker is Mr. Glenn Hamilton, who is a missionary going out to the land of Uganda. Offering will be lifted at that meeting to support Mr. Hamilton. Also, some additional announcements for other congregations. There are some Bible conferences starting today and going on this week. First of all, in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church, commencing today, running through to the 22nd. The special subject is encouragement, and the speaker is the Reverend Nathan McVeigh. And then in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, there is also a Bible conference. The speaker there is Reverend Colin Mercer, and the special subject is the Christian and Joy in Christ. The Easter Convention at the Martyrs Memorial, Friday the 29th, the speaker is Reverend Timothy Nelson, principal of our college. The Whitfield College students will be taking part, and there will also be a contribution from the Youth Council Choir. And then on Saturday the 30th, the missionary rally, the speaker is Dr. John McKnight from Darlington in Maryland, USA. And there will also be contributions from some of our international pre-Presbyterian missionaries. Then on Monday, 1st of April, on the 7 p.m, again the speaker is Dr. John McKnight. Singers will be from Macrofelt Pre-Presbyterian Choir, and there will also be contributions from some of the missionaries, some of our overseas missionaries. There will be supper each night, and there will also be a children's club on Monday. So please remember all these meetings in your prayers. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our brother for the welcome to the church here in Six Mile Cross. It is good to be back with you. I didn't know whether I was going to get here just in time. A bit like Jehu, I think I put the foot down a little bit to try and get here for the prayer meeting. But we're thankful for the Lord's mercies and being able to come among you here today. And we trust the Lord will bless. And that's the most important thing. And that we know the help and the presence of God as we gather today in God's house. We'll bow together in prayer and commit our meeting to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. We're glad that we're found in a place where we can come together and sit around the Word of God. And we pray that our meditation upon thy truth, it will be sweet and it will be blessed, that here in thy house today we will draw encouragement. And we pray that above all we will see something afresh of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Remember the need of every heart and every soul in the gathering, in the meeting, those listening on from outside, we pray that you'll bless as the word of the Lord is once again opened among us, and all our praise and our worship, we pray that it will be acceptable in thy sight. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're turning to Psalm 127, a well-known psalm. Except the Lord to build the house, the labourers lose their pain. Except the Lord the city keep, the watchmen watch in vain. This particular, at least the verse of the psalm, always impresses itself for many years in my heart. I know there are some connected here to folk in Tavistock where I ministered. And if you go down into Plymouth, there's a lighthouse there. Smeaton's Lighthouse, I think it's called. But if you go up into that lighthouse, you'll see the words of Scripture, except the Lord build the house. The labour, well, it says in their psalm, the builders lose their pain, but they labour in vain that build it. But tremendous text. And the reason it was put there was because that lighthouse stood away out in Plymouth Sound. And previous to that, there'd been another lighthouse that had been destroyed. So Smeaton eventually built a lighthouse out there, and it stood for many, many years. And then eventually it was brought back, rebuilt on the hole there, on just overlooking Plymouth Sound. Testimony to those words inside, don't they remind us of the work of God? When the Lord builds his work, and the Lord is the one in charge, well, praise the Lord, it's truly built. It's not our work, it's the Lord's work. So remember these words, and of course they're closely related to the closing words, which we're going to be at least the subject of them, considering from the New Testament. So bear these words in mind as we sing. Let's sing them as unto the Lord. 127 is Psalm number, standing as we sing. We'll turn to the Lord in prayer, and let's look to the Lord as we commit the need of the congregation here and the work of God to him now in prayer and our time together in the Lord's house today. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words. They're a reminder to us that as we look out upon thy cause, whether it be locally or whether it be, in our case, province-wide, and as we think even further afield worldwide, we thank you, Lord, that thy work is just that, thy work. We thank thee, O God, for what thou dost do. And we thank you, O God, that we do not depend upon ourselves, but rather we rest on thee. We thank thee, O God, that thou art the builder. Thou art the one who is the strength of your work and your cause. And Lord, we pray that as we gather in thy house today, help will be given to us as we come to seek thy face, to sit at thy feet and listen to thy word, to come and praise and to give to thee honour and worship. May we not lose sight of what our business is here today. We thank you for what you did in the life of every child of God. We praise thee for that great work of grace in the heart. It is not of us. And as we think of thy work being thy work, when we think of our salvation, it is thy salvation. It is what thou hast done for our heart and our soul. And we're glad today, every child of God, that you ever spoke to us and you brought us savingly to the Lord Jesus. And we gather today in the midst of all our concerns and all our worries, our fears, in the midst of all our failures and all our sins. And we look outside of ourselves and we look unto Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and all that he is for us. We hear his words. We're thankful for them. And we pray that as today afresh we acquaint ourselves with the Scripture, our heart truly will rejoice in thee. Thou who knowest all our need, thou who knowest every avenue of our life and every crevice of our being, we pray that you'll come and minister to us, and let thy word come with power, and let it come with grace to our soul. We confess to thee our great need. We confess our many sins, and we confess, Lord, our many failures. And Lord, as we come before thee, we cry with one of old, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Be mindful of us as we meet together here. Those that cannot be here today, and we do remember the sick of the fellowship, and those laid aside, we pray that you'll come, comfort their heart and be near. O God, we cry to thee for the needs of your people here and for this congregation. We pray that you'll give them help and guidance and wisdom, even as we think of the vacancy. And we pray, Lord, in the matter of a man to come and minister the word. And we pray, O God, you'll give wisdom and you'll give guidance. You'll give understanding. You'll give, above all else, the mind of God. And we pray that here in this house there will be one that will come to minister thy truth and thy word. And Lord, in the midst of thy cause and thy work here, that the hearts of your people will be strengthened and encouraged and blessed and greatly helped. Lord, we do pray that they'll come graciously near and bring a Barnabas, as it were, amongst the people here to encourage and to help and to guide. We do remember, Lord, all our congregations today, and we pray for them. We pray that you'll minister to them and help those that have the responsibility of preaching the word. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, and let this day be a day of great blessing. We're very thankful, Lord, that ever you brought this very denomination into being. And as today we even recognize another anniversary of the inception and the beginning of this work, Lord, our cry is to thee that thou wilt preserve it and thou wilt maintain it. And as we have been even singing in this psalm already, thou wilt be the one building it and strengthening it and keeping it. Lord, remember our land. And we think, Lord, of the great need. We thank you, O God, for gospel truth. The message is still the same. The need is still the same. We pray that you'll bless all the efforts made to bring unconverted to hear the word of God. And Lord, it's our cry that thou will do a sterling and signal work. Lord, that much might yet be done.
We cry with the prophet of old, revive thy work, O Lord, in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. And we pray, O God, that once again thou wilt visit your people and visit your cause. Lord, look upon us now and bless and help and minister. We remember, Lord, the need of all in this congregation. We think, Lord, of those yet unconverted who would attend. And our prayer is that they will hear the voice of God, and they will hear the truth of the word, thy word, to their heart, to their soul, and they will be brought savingly to the Lord Jesus. Lord, we look to thee for this. We pray that you'll undertake and you'll minister, and know, God, that even today it will please thee to save some souls. We thank you, O God, you've been doing it here and there. But, O Lord, we pray for the great tide of your blessing to come in again. Lord, help, we cry. Remember us now. We commit our lives to thee. And we pray that this hour and this time, as we come into your presence, the help of God will be known. And we pray that the truth of your word, it will seize hold upon our heart. In the Saviour's name, we ask all of this. Amen. We're turning to another hymn. 689 is the hymn, When Mothers of Salem Their Children Brought to Jesus. 689, and again we'll stand as we sing, please. Tune somehow. Is there another tune, or could we go to the next hymn? I know that. I think I know the original tune. Thank you. Well done. Could we turn in Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel? So Matthew's Gospel, first of all, and you'll see the relevancy of that hymn to the words that we're going to read. That hymn largely based upon the passage here. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, and then Mark's Gospel. It's the parallel portion, but there are some things included there, even in Matthew, that's perhaps a little bit shorter, but nonetheless, some things included there in those verses, not included in Mark's Gospel. So we'll read from Matthew chapter 19, first of all, and verse 13, and just a few verses here. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And then if you turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and again later on in the chapter, verse 13, as it happens, again, Mark chapter 10, verse 13, a little bit of a lengthier portion. Mark 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And we'll end there at verse 16. We know God will bless the public reading of his own truth and his own word to our hearts. Now we're going to sing again, and we'll turn to hymn number 713. 713. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. So, remaining seated as the offering is being received for the Lord's work, 713, remaining seated as we sing. Thank you. stand for the remaining verses, please. Standing, please. Thank you. Thank you. We're turning to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel and chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And with God's Word before us, we're going to unite in prayer. Considering these words, our thoughts are going to be upon encouragements in seeking to bring children to the Lord. And no doubt already you've sensed something of that theme. But let's bow in prayer and let's seek the Lord together and pray that the Lord will take his word and write it upon our hearts and souls. Eternal God, we thank you for the singing already and the words that have been sung, and our hearts have been encouraged already as we think on the Saviour and we think of what you've done in our heart and our life. We thank you for that day when you revealed Christ to us. It's your prayer that as we look into your word, that our own service for thee might be revived and strengthened, and particularly as we think of the subject and we think of these who sought to bring their children to the Lord. We pray that you'll help us now as we consider these words. And it's our prayer that help will be given in preaching the word and declaring it. Bring all to remembrance. We pray that our attention may be focused not on a multitude of other things that have nothing to do with this time, but instead only on hearing what the Lord would have to say to us. We think of the prophet of old who said, I will stand upon my watch and see what the Lord will say to me. May that be our position today as we wait around thy truth and thy word. It is in the Saviour's name that we ask all of this. Amen. The Lord Jesus previously has used a child as he demonstrated to his disciples what it means to enter into the kingdom of God. On that occasion, he called a little child to him. And the child simply came over
came into the presence of he and all those disciples. And the Lord reminded those disciples that those who would enter into the kingdom of God must humble themselves just as this little child had done. Now we have another event, and it draws forth more counsel, more teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ on the subject of children. And on this occasion, if I may just simply put it like this, this passage demonstrates to us the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive children to himself. Indeed, you can see some of the phrases in verse 14 when the disciples were rebuking the mothers. In verse 14, it displeased the Lord. He says, "Suffer little children to come unto me, forbid them not." And look at that phrase, "For of such is the kingdom of God." And I think all of those phrases together collectively demonstrate to us the intense desire of our Lord and our Savior to receive the young. If ever there is an event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to encourage you and I in relation to the subject of seeking to bring children to the Lord, this is it. And of course, we can think of the variety of ways. First of all, of course, as parents, it's not every child of God that becomes a parent, we know that, but by and large, predominantly, children under the care of parents are the norm. And generally speaking, then parents are given a great responsibility to guide and lead their young into the things of God. We know we cannot save. That's not our purpose. But we are God's instruments if God has given to us that position in life. But of course, there's a wider context to that as well. And we think of the whole field of how we are related in some way with children. We're not islands. Every one of us, I believe, have some point in our life where we are in contact with the young. There we have a duty. There we have a responsibility. There we have an opportunity to demonstrate to the young something of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we can think of the whole field of Christian work, where there's involvement in Christian work, whether it be Sunday school teaching, whether it be our children's meetings, and a whole variety of things that will take place. And as a child of God, therefore, having an interest in seeking to have influence upon the young, then here's a passage to encourage. I was greatly encouraged this morning in our time of prayer. Somebody specifically was praying over the matter of children. I think it was maybe the last prayer. Can't recall exactly, but I thought, well, I think I'm on the right track with the Lord in bringing a message such as this. And I trust as we consider this passage that on this subject, what is shown here will encourage you greatly. Now, in looking at the passage, the first thing that does strike us is the desire of the mothers. In this instance, we presume they're the mothers. It says, they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And of course, you have
that emphasized again in verse 13 of Matthew's account, there were brought unto him little children. Yes, presumably it is the mothers. We don't know exactly, but certainly these are children under care. And it is the desire of those whose care they're under that they come with them to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord will put his hand upon them. It's very clear that the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ was to bless them, as it says there, and that indeed was the intention, because they desired that the Lord would put his hands upon them. So this is a spiritual blessing that is desired. There are many benefits to the work of an evangelical church in relation to children and in relation to upbringing. And I'm thinking generally now of the gospel and the influence that the gospel has upon the young. Morally, because from the scriptures we have a sense of right and wrong. Isn't that the great problem with our society today? The vast majority of young people have little knowledge of the Word of God, and so therefore whenever a moral question comes up, they're all at sea. They don't know really the answer to that, except to say, well, it's just whatever I think is right, and yes, I'll take a look at what the rest of society says, but anything goes. When a child is brought up under the care of the Word of God, then we have a right sense of what is right and wrong morally. And so we have dealt with immediately all the issues of marriage, how children are to be brought into the world, relationships, and so on and so forth. Emotionally, there is a benefit. And who stressed that? Society is a society in despair, emotionally. Why? It has lost touch with the reality of the Word of God. And if you take that right down to children, then it is especially true. Emotionally, the Word of God has an effect upon children. They're learning about what is right and what is wrong, after all. And that will have an effect emotionally upon them. There are many physical benefits, but I'll just stop there. Because whatever those benefits are, they're not what happened here. What happened here was an actual, real, spiritual blessing. It says here in verse 16 in Mark 10, he put his hands upon them and blessed them. Now we know the blessing of God is a tremendous thing. And the blessing of God, where's its center? Where's its focus? The blessing of God upon mankind is the blessing of God's salvation in the heart and in the soul. God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the signal blessing that God gives into the heart. And when we're coming then to think about children, what is it that we desire, therefore, as believers, whenever we think about children? As a father and as a mother, what's the greatest blessing that we desire in the lives of our children? It is that they be brought to Christ. It is that they come to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because that's the essential need. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's common for people to say nowadays in relation to children, no, don't call them sinners. The Bible teaches that we're born in sin. Why do all of the sins manifest themselves so early on in the life of a child? It's because that's the bent of our soul. That's our nature. Outside of Christ, we lean, as it were, we delve into sin. And there's no end to what a person can do. And we see even in the society that we live in today that as children, there's literally no depth that they cannot go. You go to court cases in the Western world especially, and you'll find very young children, I'm not talking about babies of course, but very young children in say 9, 10, 11, and find that they have taken a weapon and they've used it to kill. Why is this? It is because the nature of the heart is such that there is this leaning towards rebellion and sin. Thankfully, all children don't do that. But we're just illustrating the point here. The greatest need of the heart of the child is to come to know Christ. And we have to recognize something. Although even a child born into a home where the gospel is taught doesn't mean that they necessarily will receive Christ. And the Bible has examples in many places of those who have grown up into adulthood, even become part of the professing work of God, and yet their lives show that there was no conversion. You think of Korah and Abiram, number 16, who in the priesthood, the earth swallowed them up, rebelling against God. Famous child Esau, who despised his birthright. And from what is read in the word of God, it appears he couldn't even find repentance. So the word of God has examples here to remind us that even young people growing up in an environment where the word of God is taught and the Lord is respected, it doesn't mean that necessarily they will be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. David the psalmist, remember, made that great prayer where he says in 2 Samuel 23, although my house be not so with God. He was thinking of what he had and he thought of his household, and we know there were those in his own household who grew up and rebelled. So, the point I'm seeking to make here is this desire to have our children come to know Christ in whatever field we're working, whether it be as a parent or a Christian worker, then this is something that should command our attention, command our desire. We know the child needs Christ. It needs to be converted. It needs to be brought to the Savior. And therefore, that's a matter for prayer. That's a matter of work. Not that we can bring them, but there is an instrumentality there. We are those whom God has placed in the paths of children to be an influence to them, to speak with them, to seek to be a guide to them, to be those who will even take them upon our heart in prayer for them. And we think of children who have grown up and have grown up into the world, and yet they're in some way under our care still. Well, if we find that they cannot or won't listen to us, well, we can still pray over them. And what are we praying for? We're praying that they would know the ultimate blessing of God. That is his saving grace in their heart. And it's a good question to ask ourselves. Is this so? Here we learn of the desire of these who desired that their children would be brought to Christ. And let's examine our own heart. Is this desire there? I think of that scene in Matthew 15. Do you remember the woman who begged the Lord to heal her daughter? And she used some expressions. And you remember the conversation? It seems as though obstacles were in her path, but still such an earnestness was in her heart. And it's that earnestness I just wish to, as it were, identify. She says, "Have mercy on me." In Matthew 15, verse 25, she says, "Lord, help me." And those expressions denote the earnestness of her desire that the Lord would come and minister to her daughter. Well, we desire, I trust we do, that God will come and he will minister the greatest grace that can ever be brought to the heart of anyone, particularly our children. Let's never lose that desire. And we do have to say, as we look out across the field of God's work and even our own history and our own circumstances, we don't have to think too long and too hard before we come to someone immediately close to us and they're not saved. Once they were a child, once they listened to the word of God, they're not saved. Maybe they're still a child. There are others who have grown up into adulthood, and they're not saved. They were part of our care in some way over in relation to the work of God. Do we have this desire? Is it really there? It certainly was the desire, as we shall see, of these women, we believe, who brought these children to Christ. And may the Lord stir our souls afresh in this regard. I want to speak about hindrances. You'll find that in the passage as well. It seems incredible that the greatest hindrance that these women faced was the disciples. It says in verse 13 of Mark 10, his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But I think that needs some explanation. It was often the case that the Lord Jesus Christ was inundated with crowds and with people, and often he had to withdraw himself. It may be the disciples thought, here we have a similar situation, and so we'll intervene in this, and we will stop them, and we'll hold them back. They thought perhaps he's doing more important things and therefore this is a less important, and so we'll hold these folk back from bringing their children to the Lord. I think whenever we think of the work that is given to us in relation to children, there's something to think about here. There are many aspects to the work of God. And it's very easy to begin to argue, well, you know what? In relation to children, perhaps we don't need to be just as concerned about this as perhaps other matters in the work of God. Let me plead here for Christian parents, first of all, to have it as a matter of priority. But above all else, you desire the salvation of your young, and let nothing hinder you in that. If the disciples here were a hindrance, and they were, you know, we can even say,
as disciples, we can be a hindrance because we can adopt so many attitudes and so many ideas. We can say, you know, the most important thing for our child is an education. That's the priority. Most important thing for our children is that they stand in eternity in heaven. There is nothing more important than that. Let that weigh upon our mind. In relation to the work of a church, as it is many fields, and I grant that, many different departments, let ministers, let sessions, let committees, let those in responsibility see it as a priority to do all that they can to make sure children are ministered to and the word of God is brought to their attention. And let us not be our own hindrances in that work. It's an intense work. It's a time-consuming work. Let me just quickly speak to parents. In the busyness of your life, and life we know is a busy matter, and there are many things that call your attention, don't miss out on time spent seeking to instruct your child. Let it not be that it is simply left to one in the family to instruct the child. Take it as your business. I speak particularly of fathers. Take it as your business to see that your children, everything that can be done to lead them to Christ, is done. Don't be a hindrance. Don't put some argument in the way, however plausible it might sound. Let me go a little bit further and think of discouragements by others and the effect that that has. I think it's notable here, whenever you think of these individuals who are seeking to bring these children to the Lord, they didn't get discouraged. That could have easily happened. After all, here were the disciples, the followers of Christ, and they were the ones putting up the block. They were the ones putting their hands out. No, you're not coming. You can't do this. I don't read of the folk attacking the disciples. Don't read that at all. I don't read of the disciples even arguing with the Lord Jesus Christ, but by their action, nonetheless, there could have been a great discouragement here. Perhaps the hardest thing in the work of God is to overcome resistance, for whatever reason, from God's people. And that can come in so, so many ways. It can happen in family life. It can happen in church life. And there are many ways in which it can happen. And believe me, the devil is going to make sure something happens. He wants to throw some kind of roadblock in the way. And if he can even use God's people to do it, he will. And therefore, I urge all, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged in the work of God. Don't think because something has happened or something has been said that shouldn't have been said, that somehow that's you throw in the towel. Don't be discouraged. Just remember, the greatest, most important thing in relation to a child is that that child be brought under the influence and come under the authority of Jesus Christ and the gospel. We often say it, don't we? Keep your eye on Christ. Well, keep your eye on him. And then we could think of the hindrances that lie out there in the world. A host of hindrances. Perhaps the most common one in the day that we live in is this. Religion poisons everything. Well, I'm very sure false religion poisons much. But this is not false. We have the truth. The child must be born again. Those are the words of Christ of every individual. And that includes the child. But don't allow the atheistic world to dictate to you and I the teaching of children about Christ and the gospel. What do they say? You should leave them alone. You should let them decide for themselves. We know only too well. Children, as they grow up, they will decide for themselves. You would think to hear some individuals that somehow evangelical churches were locking up children and chaining them. We know only too well. As one has said, when a child gets into its teenage years, it enters there with something of the mind of its parents in relation to its thoughts. When it leaves its teenage years, it leaves with its own. And while it might not be exactly to the teenage years, nonetheless, we know by experience that's the way it is. But don't allow the world to dictate to you that somehow you have no authority and the Church of Jesus Christ has no authority over the teaching of the young about the things of God. The world is certainly not going to do it. It's doing everything it can to keep the Word of God out of its corridors of power. It's doing everything it can at this very moment in our own land to attempt to remove it from the school curriculum where truth is being taught. So we certainly know that the world is not going to do anything about this in relation to guiding the young to Christ. But that's the task of the Church of Christ. That's the task of the minister of the Word of God, the workers in the church related to children, and especially the parent of the child. And there will be many hindrances, and especially this one in this day that we live in. But just for your attention, I would say this. Just look at the world. And look what takes place out in that world. And look what happens to the young when they're left as the world will leave them. The deaths that occur. Through all sorts of ways, especially the drug abuse of this day, and a host of other things. And the lives of young ruined by the world, by their fruits, you know them. The answer for the child lies in Christ. It lies in the Savior. There are many hindrances, but let us be focused on what our duty is. And then, quickly, let me just draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ in all of this. He reminds us here that children are certainly the very picture of heaven, because it says here in the passage in verse 14 of Mark 10, "For of such is the kingdom of God." Now, I believe we will recognize each other in heaven. What body we shall have in heaven, I don't know. But it will be like Christ's glorious body. And yet the Bible says that there is a sense in which even the child is a picture of what heaven is like. Yes, there's the thought of humility there as a child humbles himself. But I think there is something of the childhood that's still in glory, but in a glorified body. I can't go any further than that and won't. But think of the large numbers of children who've left the scene of time and have gone into glory. And I leave that with your thought. And the Lord Jesus Christ here reminds us, heaven is a place of many children. And then, of course, notice also, he put his hands on them. It says here in verse 16, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. If you follow the passage, you'll find out that this event takes place very late on in the ministry of Christ. Calvary is not very far away. The hands of the Lord Jesus Christ have yet to be nail pierced, but they soon will be. It's not a precious thought that the children he took up in his arms and put those hands upon them and blessed them, they were the very hands that would carry the weight and the guilt of those children's sin, that they might be pardoned and they might be forgiven. That's a very precious thought. He took them up in his arms and he bore them. And can I say to you, in whose arms is a child best rested? It's in the arms of Jesus Christ. Is there one with us today, and you've grown up with the gospel, you've grown up hearing of the Lord Jesus, but still you're not saved? I want to say to you that as the Savior took up these children in his arms, he will take you up in his arms. And with his nail-pierced hands, he will touch you with the greatest blessing that can ever be given to the soul. That is his salvation. I trust today, as we have thought of these words and thought of this event, it will encourage believers on the subject of children. Continue to pray. Have you labored in prayer and you've wondered, am I praying in vain? You continue in prayer. Remember what the Savior said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And one final thought. It displeased the Lord. Look at verse 14. That his disciples held them back. And that means that the opposite was true. It rejoiced Christ that children were brought into his arms. It gave him great joy. Why? Because it's in keeping with all that he is. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you wonder, would Christ receive me? It rejoices his heart to receive sinners. The young and the old. Think of the great parable the Lord told when he sat with the publicans and sinners. And then he spoke about the lost coin. He spoke also about the lost sheep. And he spoke about joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Don't be discouraged if you're not saved. You might say, I've had many things that have offended me, many things that have caused me problems, even from other believers. I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ is not a discouragement. He's the Savior of sinners. Come to him. And may the Lord take our thoughts today upon this passage and make them a blessing to us in these times and these days, and a counsel to us, an encouragement to us, to continue to labour in this great business of guiding the young to Christ. Let's bow together in prayer, and we'll close our meeting. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the preciousness of thy word. We thank you for the passage before us. We rejoice that such passages as this are here that we can turn to and draw counsel from and encouragement from. Bless them to each heart. And Lord, we pray that most of all we will put these things into practice. Give us greater fervency, greater earnestness, greater desire to see the young won to the Saviour. May we give ourselves to prayer, give ourselves to every effort to get the young to Christ. And Lord, bless the effort. We've sung already, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. And so we need thee. Watch over us now. Be with us. Guide and lead. Bless as today we take time and think upon your word. And as we return again to the evening service, put your hand upon that meeting also. And be with us and encourage your soul. In Christ's name, we ask all of these things. Amen.